President Donald Trump. He's obviously known very well throughout the world. And before being president, he was known not least for being Sir Alan Sugar of the American version of The Apprentice. And I don't ever watch the UK one, but we did sometimes watch the American one, didn't we? We quite enjoyed it. I don't know why, but we did. The thing is, in this show, you don't want to hear, there's something that you don't want to hear every week. And this is what. Now, you need to turn it up really loud, Graham, right? This is what you don't want to hear.
You're fired.
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 You're fired, I think the word is. The words, you're fired. You don't want to hear that. And they're generally negative, aren't they, really? But hold on. I read a story about a janitor at St. Peter's Church in London. One day, a young vicar discovered that the janitor was illiterate and fired him. Jobless, the man invested his meager savings in a tiny tobacco shop, where he prospered and brought another, expanded, and ended up with a chain of tobacco shops worth several hundred thousand pounds. One day, the man's accountant said, "You've done well for an illiterate, but where would you be if you could read and write?" "Well," replied the man, "I'd be the janitor at St. Peter's Church in Neville Square." When the words "you're fired" are voiced, it often means you're dismissed from doing what you were doing, but it also means you're fired up to find a whole new direction. Sometimes getting fired is the best thing that can happen to us, like the janitor in my story, because it fires us up for something new and wonderful, a great opportunity, perhaps in disguise. A little band of believers gathered to celebrate the Pentecost festival. They had experienced a great deal in the last few weeks. Their world had turned upside down. The one whom they had followed had gone through several incredible events. Jesus had been arrested, tried, convicted, and brutally killed. That was certainly emotionally wrenching, to say the least. But then on the third day, he had burst from the grave. He had returned to life, and he appeared among them several times. Their minds could scarcely take it in. But there it was, Jesus alive among them. A lot to take in, eh? But there was still more. After some 40 days, the same Jesus had, before their very eyes, been gathered up into heaven, speaking to them about a Holy Spirit who would come. Well, it was all too much, really. Too much to take in. They gathered and they waited, praying, hoping, not knowing quite what to expect. Then came the festival day of Pentecost, and on that day they were fired. They were forcibly removed from their old ways, and they were introduced to something new. The Holy Spirit came and blew through them, and the things happened. They got fired. They got fired from old patterns of life, and they were presented with something far better. And I believe that what the Holy Spirit did with them, he does and will do for us as well. Terrifying as the words are, they'll bring us a new opportunity. You're fired. For example, when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to fire us, to dismiss us from the glowing embers of gathering. And he comes to fire us up, to get us going and fire us up about mission. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. These folks had experienced so much in such a short while. They had lots to share. No doubt they relished telling each other their stories. No doubt it felt good for Peter to be able to say to James, "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me." No doubt John enjoyed telling Philip about what he saw on Ascension Day. Every one of them had stories to tell, and tell them they did, over and over. The stories were wonderful, and nobody could get enough of them. It was just plain good to be together. It was comfortable to gather and to fan the glowing embers of their memories. But I want you to notice that when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes like a violent wind and he blows through the mustiness of our memories, stirring things up. When the Holy Spirit came, he blew through the house where they were sitting and got them ready to go, not just to sit, not just to gather. I love coming to church. I love coming to the army. Don't you? I really do. But the Holy Spirit will not permit us just to sit and gather and tell stories and let it go at that. The Holy Spirit will not allow us just to do nothing more than reminisce and enjoy one another's company. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will dismiss us from the glowing embers of gathering, no matter how pleasant, and will fire us up for mission. He will get us going. And if you want to know how effective our worship is, if you want to test whether the Holy Spirit is present when we gather, then think about whether your time in worship has fired you up to go and do something for somebody, to make a difference in the kingdom of God. The question is not how comfortable we are when we gather, but how vigorous we are when we go into the world. When the Holy Spirit comes to Christians gathering, he comes not to confirm the comfort of coming together, but he comes to fire us up in our going out. If when you worship, all you feel is, isn't it good to be here? Let's just stay and stay and stay right here. If all you feel is, let's just take care of each other, then as good as that is, chances are you've really missed the Holy Spirit. For when the Holy Spirit comes to our gathering, he will fire us. He will dismiss us from the glowing embers of gathering, and he will fire us up to go to a lost and dying world. More than that, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will fire us. He'll dismiss us from the closed community, and he will fire us up with the desire to communicate God with others. When the Holy Spirit comes, he may find us comfortable with everybody, where everybody has come together to shut out the rest of the world, but he will break up the comfort of a closed community, and he will fire us up with the capacity to communicate with a whole wide world of others not like us. You know, when Katie was younger, I used to regularly take her swimming with my friend Lorna and her little son, and one day Lorna brought along her friend Jenny, who at that point had no children. And Jenny decided that whilst we were playing in the children's pool with the children, that she would go into the next size pool up and have a proper swim. But when she went to get in, she was told that it was closed because they had schools coming for lessons. So then she found another pool. And she got in and was about to start swimming when someone who was in the pool made a comment about how good she looked for being over 60. She looked around and realized that everyone in the pool was at least a good 30 years older than her. So she checked with the lifeguard, who confirmed that swimming there was only for the over 60s. So she came back to us and had to make do with swimming small widths, trying to avoid the little children who were all singing and splashing along to the Grand Old Duke of York and Ring a Ring of Roses. Poor Jenny. She felt pushed out and didn't really feel like she belonged anywhere. But in the seriousness of that, we know that there are people in our world who are pushed out because they don't fit in. People who don't feel like they belong anywhere and miss out on a better way of living. In that early Christian gathering, they were all about being the same. They had all been Jews. They had all lived together and traveled together. They had all the same experience. It was a gathering of like-minded lookalikes. They spoke the same language and they knew instantly how to communicate with one another. But this was the festival of Pentecost, and the festival had brought together into Jerusalem people from all over the world, people with different identities, different cultures, people who spoke different languages, people with whom it was difficult to communicate. It would have been very easy for this little band of Christians to have put up a closed up in their circle and have said, well, we have good news to share, but we can't, not with these people. We don't speak their language. They're not like us. They're different. But guess what? When the Holy Spirit came to their closed community, he said, you're fired. You're fired. You are dismissed from staying here with the tight little circle of folk who you look like, sound like, and smell like. You're fired from all that. And I will fire you up with a power to communicate across the barriers of culture and language. I will fire you up with a power to be heard and to be understood. Oh, wow. So the Bible says that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And everybody said, isn't this amazing? These people care enough about me to communicate with me. These Christian folk leap over the boundaries and they can communicate. The Holy Spirit fires us, dismisses us from our closed circles and teaches us to speak across the boundaries, to let the Jennies go into the over 60 swimming session, so to speak. Jesus did not say to his church, go into your own comfort zones and preach the gospel. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he will say, you're fired. You're fired. You're dismissed from the closed community in which everybody is alike. And he will fire us up, challenge us, empower us to communicate his truth to people who are different from us, from you and I. Why don't you look out for those opportunities this week, folks? But most of all, when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to fire us, to dismiss us from the tepid temperatures of our personal past. And he comes to fire us with a burning passion for a faith-filled future. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you failed to do, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take you just as you are, and then he will give you a vision for your future. Peter interpreted for everybody what his experience of Pentecost was about. As they stood in the public square and murmured about what they were seeing, some even guessing that these Christians were drunk, Peter put it into context, and this is what he says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. God's Spirit will come and it will touch all who are available to him, no matter where they are and who they are. Sons and daughters alike, old and young alike, slaves and free alike. Everybody will get a vision of the future. Everybody will get fired up about what God is doing. Everybody will get a fresh start and a passionate vision. Everybody will get a dream of what can happen. I wonder how many of us live seemingly boring lives. How many of us really think deep down that life is just one day after another, plodding endlessly into eternity? How many of us have resigned ourselves to a quiet little sickness that never ventures into new territory, never tries anything new, never gets excited about anything? How many of us spend our days perhaps dull and boring? But I tell you, and this I believe with all my heart, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take a quick look at the tepid temperatures of our personal past and he will say, you're fired. The usual, the ordinary, the dull and the bland, throw it out. Because I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Because I will pour out my spirit and whoever you are, whatever you've been, you will see visions and dream dreams. And you're going to be so alive, so alert, and so full of joy that you can scarcely contain yourself. Well, these folk who were just baptized, how much they had to look forward to. The Holy Spirit had fired them, dismissed them from their old lives, and had said, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. The Spirit fired them with a burning passion for a faith-filled future. I don't know about you, but I don't want to settle for the same old, same old. Our church should not be happy with the tepid temperatures of the past, with the glowing embers of gathering, with a closed community. There's a whole new growth edge out there. There's a whole new future for us out there. God's work in this city, in this community, has only just begun. All around us, there are lives to be mended, souls to be saved, relationships to be reconciled, and hearts to be healed. Men and women, young and old, whoever you are, feel the vision, dream the dream. Fire up a passion to serve this city, this community, wherever you are, this little pocket of the kingdom of God here on earth. And cry out, come Holy Spirit, fill us with thy fire. We have heard you say, you're fired up. You're fired up. And so as we have just a moment of reflection and response, we sing, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fire me up. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fire me up. Fill me anew. Fill me anew. Fire me up. Spirit of the Lord, fall afresh on me. Fire me up. Don't be happy with the tepid temperatures of the past, with the glowing embers of gathering, with a closed community. Let God, through his Spirit, fill you anew, fire you up for greater, more exciting things. If you want this to be a reality with just now, then sing it. Sing it with confidence as we sing this prayer and this desire to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this day of Pentecost when we celebrate the coming of your promised Holy Spirit. We give thanks that in eons past you poured out your Spirit on the earth, fashioning men and women in your image to enjoy the wonders of nature you had created. That you kept rescuing us from ourselves despite our foolish ways and our lack of understanding of what it means to be your children. Lord, we give you the thanks that you have kept your promise throughout the ages, even when we've despaired of ever grasping the importance of placing you first in our lives, and that you took steps to show us the futility of our actions. At Easter, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you were glorified. At Pentecost, through the Holy Spirit, you set the early church on fire and led the disciples into the world to preach your word. Lord, today, send your Spirit anew into our lives to cleanse, to heal, to mold anew. Fire us up to continue the work of that first Pentecost by your devoted followers. May all praise and worship be yours. Amen. Amen.